Item 24 is the, 24.
That's a general permit and for discharges for aquaculture facilities.
Right. And Ryan Lodge of our staff has prepared this item, is going to be making our presentation this morning.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Ryan Lodge. I'm a water resource control engineer. I'm here this morning seeking to have the board reissue the NPDES general permit for aquaculture and aquarium facilities. The current general permit was adopted in 2002, and the five-year permit term has since expired, and the permit has been administratively extended. First, I just want to go over what the definition of an aquaculture facility. As you can see on the screen, it's a facility that discharges 30 days per year, feeds 5,000 pounds of food per month, and produces 20,000 pounds of animals per year. If it meets those criteria, they're required to obtain NPDES permit coverage. If they don't meet those criteria, the executive officer has the authority to evaluate whether the facility is a threat to water quality and can require permit coverage. There are currently five facilities enrolled under the general permit. We have two labs, the UC Davis Marine Lab and the Long Marine Lab, and three abalone facilities, the U.S. Abalone in Davenport, the Abalone Farm in Cayucas, and the Cultured Abalone, which is located in Goleta. The proposed permit is very similar to the current permit, current version of the permit. It prohibits the discharge of priority pollutants and exotic species. It also requires the development and implementation of a best management practices plan, which primarily focuses on feed management and also drug and chemical use and management at the facilities. We are proposing some minor modifications to the current permit, one of which is to that it only covers discharges to the ocean. Aquaculture facilities that discharge to inland surface waters are not similar enough to cover under the same general permit. If a facility, and there are currently no aquaculture facilities in the Central Coast region that discharge to inland surface waters. If a facility does seek permit coverage for discharge to inland surface waters, we'll draft an individual permit, which includes all the inland surface water discharge requirements. Another change to the proposed permit, or to the current permit, is that it requires notification for use of investigational new animal drugs or extra label drugs. They're required to provide oral notification within 7 days and also written notification.
Could you tell me what investigational means?
It means that it's a drug that hasn't been, I think, approved necessarily by the FDA in terms of widespread use. They're figuring out if it's going to work and how it's going to work. Another modification is that all facilities that are discharging to the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary are now required to submit all monitoring reports and are required to provide notifications to the sanctuary. The general permit was posted for public comment. We received one comment letter during the comment period from the Otter Project. After the public comment period ended, we received an authorization letter from the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary. That authorization letter also contained a comment, and that's included as the supplemental sheet for this item as it came in after the agenda. Steve Schimmick of the Otter Project commented that the permit should contain better criteria for identifying who is covered by the permit. Staff concurs with that comment. And we've added the sizing criteria that I discussed in the second slide, the 30 days of discharge, 5,000 pounds of food fed per month, and the 20,000 pounds of animals. We've put that into the permit, so there is now sizing criteria. Mr. Schimmick of the Otter Project also provided a list of 21 facilities that he felt either should be or could be covered by the general permit. Actually, 9 of the facilities are covered. The list that he provided contained the same facilities but listed with different names. So actually, 9 of those are covered. Several of the facilities listed have already been inspected by Water Board staff. They did not meet the sizing criteria and were determined not to be a threat to water quality. But we do acknowledge that we do need to periodically reevaluate the facilities to determine if they should be covered by the permit. And so we'll have area staff look at all those facilities and determine if they should be covered. As I pointed out earlier, if they do not meet the sizing criteria, the executive officer has the authority to require permit coverage for facilities that are deemed a threat to water quality. The Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, in their authorization letter, commented they would suggested incorporating language indicating that some facilities that are covered by this permit discharge into the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary or into a state marine protected area. Staff response is that this is a general permit covering facilities that discharge into the sanctuary and marine protected areas and facilities that that do not discharge. We would prefer to just simply state that it covers discharges to the ocean rather than specify which part of our region they're discharging into, because it is a general permit. We will notify all facilities that are discharging into the sanctuary that they are required to provide monitoring reports and certain notifications to the sanctuary.
I have one question about that, Ryan.
Yes.
If I might interrupt, I'm sorry. We do note, although I did note in the language in certain sections, reference to ASBS, which is another special designation that we recognize in this permit. So I'm wondering why we would distinguish one and decide the other not worth. Not it's not something we want to mention, given that it is a program under a state law.
Right. Well, for the ASBSs, they're actually specifically mentioned in the Ocean Plan, and there are regulatory requirements associated with ASBSs. But with a sanctuary or the marine protected areas, there are no regulatory requirements associated with those, other than for us to require they notify and provide reports to the sanctuary. So that's the main reason.
And okay, so there's another reason for us to start thinking more proactively about how to reflect these new management goals in the Ocean Plan, which is something I'm looking for ways and opportunities for our region to do that.
Right. So. I from a staff perspective, we want to just avoid confusion in terms of listing that this permit covers discharges to the ocean and to the Monterey Sanctuary, where there's also another sanctuary in the region, and then to marine protected areas. We want to make sure that everybody's discharging to the ocean knows that they have to get coverage under this permit, not specifically if they read it and say, well, if I'm not discharging to a sanctuary, maybe I don't need permit coverage. So we just wanted to try to keep it as clear as possible. The permit has increased in volume in the terms of the amount of material that's in it from the last version to this version, because we put it into the template. So there's already a lot of information in there that sometimes it gets a little difficult to mine out and to figure out what actually pertains to each facility. So it's just trying to avoid any confusion. And so to wrap things up, I also wanted to remind the board that general permits are good regulatory tools. They provide uniform regulation for similar facilities, and they also provide a streamlined permitting process, which allows for efficient use of staff resources. And so with that, I would recommend that the board adopt the general permit for aquaculture and aquariums.
Any questions for the board members or the staff?
Can you go back a couple of slides? There was something where we no longer cover the discharge to inland water?
Correct.
And why is that?
Facilities that generally facilities that are discharging inland surface waters are a different type of a facility from the facilities we have discharging to the ocean waters.
Okay.
They're typically hatchery facilities that hold a lot of the similar type of animals in larger, I guess, containment units. They feed them a little bit differently, and they use chemicals and drugs a little bit differently than the facilities we have going to the marine environment. Also, there's a requirement to incorporate California toxics rule standards and whatnot into a permit for inland surface waters.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
So we decided to not cover that in this permit.
Okay. Any other questions, staff? If not, then I'll go to the cards. James Farrell?
Can we go out of order?
You want to go first, Steve?
Sure.
Okay. Then Steve Schimmick.
That I want to go first if he wants to go second.
Who's on first?
Yeah. Could we have that slide of the definition of aquaculture facilities, please? You don't have to go full screen. That's good. That's fun right there. Thanks. And I've got a handout. So good morning, Chair, Vice Chair Jeffries, thank you, and board members and staff. Thank you for the opportunity to share my comments. The draft permit was originally distributed and it had no enrollment criteria at all. Staff has said they were inadvertently left out and have been put in. But those criteria, bottom, and this appears at the bottom of page 2 of the staff report, are absolutely 100% meaningless for aquarium facilities. Take a look at feeds 5,000 pounds of food per month and produces 20,000 pounds of aquatic animals per year. An aquarium facility, which is covered, as you see, a hatchery farm, aquarium, or other facility, is not going to produce 20,000 pounds of stuff. They're just not. So that leaves it up to the executive officer. And while we think that Mr. Briggs is a fine gentleman, we just simply believe that he has a lot to do and that the permit ought to be more explicit about what it covers. We also think it's a very serious mistake to suggest that the ASBS exemption will cover Monterey Bay Aquarium and Hopkins Marine Station anytime soon. Those have been under discussion for a very long time. I'm party to those discussions. I think, you know, we have no idea when that exception is going to be made. Of the five facilities listed, four have violations. We would suggest that those four reapply. At the very least, it's going to help them, it's going to remind them what the rules are. And then pharmaceuticals. The staff report says pharmaceuticals are not a problem. Pharmaceuticals are not a problem only if you look at the small number of facilities that this permit is choosing to cover. It's not choosing to cover the Marine Mammal Center. It's not choosing to cover Monterey Bay Aquarium. It's not choosing to cover the marine labs. These marine labs do use pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are an emerging issue. This is our opportunity to study those issues. We have no other opportunity where we know what the inputs are so that we can then look at what the impacts are. This is our chance to study pharmaceuticals. This brings me to my final point, and that's monitoring. Some of the receiving water limitations refer to benthic biota and sediments near the facility, yet there is no effort whatsoever made to monitor impacts to those environments. No effort. It's simply, let's look at the water shooting up at the end of the pipe. Let's go down 100 yards, check the surface water. We need to look better at the impacts, because what we're talking about is fecal material from these materials sheeting across the bottom in some places. We need to look at these impacts.
Steve, can you wrap up?
Yeah. So we believe that this general permit is not ready to go yet. We suggest that you return it to staff, and we suggest that it receive more attention and more work. Thank you. Any questions?
I do have one question.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you. Mr. Schimmick, can you give me a little more information on the situation with Maureen Hopkins? I'm not really up to speed on it.
So Hopkins and Monterey Bay Aquarium, I mean, first of all, Monterey Bay Aquarium, to my knowledge, does not have an NPDES permit, and it's been in operation for decades. It should come under a permit, and it should come under a permit soon. The intent, as noted by staff, is that they fall under the ASBS exception permit, and that'll get them permitted. I think that that's a fine idea. The problem is we have no idea when that's going to happen. And this is happening now. Let's get them under this permit. And because, frankly, this is the appropriate, these criteria ought to apply. This is the aquarium permit. Did that answer your question? Thank you.
Any other questions to Mr. Schimmick? Thank you. Mr. Ferrero.
Good morning, Board. My name is James Farrow. I'm with Ocean Conservancy. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments. And I apologize for not submitting written comments at the end of the public comment period. I've just recently started working with Ocean Conservancy, and I appreciate the opportunity to provide comments here. So really, Mr. Schimmick has covered most of the issues that we had with the general permit as well. I really wanted to just be here and second what he had said in his written comments as well as in some of his oral comments today. There's a couple main issues that I would like to highlight, and we provided comments on a similar aquarium permit back in 2001 when this issue was originally being discussed here. And really with these three aquaculture facilities, the abalone facilities, the most pressing concern that we have at these flow-through facilities is that the fact that abalone aquaculture in California and elsewhere has some significant problems that are likely to affect our ocean ecosystems, specifically the parasitic cybellid worm syndrome and the withering syndrome of the abalones. We're definitely concerned that if this general permit in the future, as we're likely to see more aquaculture facilities offshore and more onshore hatcheries that might fall underneath this general permit, we need to make sure that we are monitoring, like Mr. Schimmick mentioned, the benthic impacts around these outfall facilities. And then the other comments that we have relate to pharmaceuticals. We think that this general permit should require that there are no investigational drugs allowed for these facilities when they're falling underneath this general permit. We need to also make sure that we minimize the use of pharmaceuticals and chemicals whenever possible. So our recommendation as well is that the general permit is returned to staff for further clarification on the enrollment criteria as well as the use of pharmaceuticals and chemicals. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Farrow? Dr. Hunter?
I do have one question. I'm sorry. First, can you repeat your name for me?
Yeah, James Farrow.
Thank you, James. So you are suggesting that this permit include no investigational drugs. Does that mean that you would recommend that a facility that would be using investigational drugs hold an individual permit?
Individual permit, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We have no other cards. Mr. Briggs?
Yes, we'd like to respond to some of the comments, and I sense that Francis McChesney would like to respond as well.
I want to respond to a couple of comments of Mr. Schimmick. The first one is that the federal, he mentioned this aquaculture definition, and just to explain that the federal regulations define what is an aquaculture facility, and it can only meet certain criteria. So the proposal is that to have a general permit that would apply to facilities that meet that definition. So no other facility could come under the permit except those that meet it. And if it doesn't meet it, it couldn't be in the permit. And so, for example, the list of facilities he has, some could possibly be aquaculture facilities within the definition and some not. And what the permit also proposes is that the executive officer could make that determination. So if there was a facility that's not specifically listed now as being in the permit, the executive officer could say it meets these criteria or it doesn't, and then it's in the then it could be in the permit. The other way is the executive officer could say, well, even though it doesn't meet that definition, it makes sense to be in this permit, in which case it would most likely need to come back to the board to decide that it should be in the permit or not. So just to explain the process of how this permit would apply.
I have a question. So the general permit gives these conditions that then automatically require a facility to apply for a permit. How do the individual permits come into this process?
Well, if they don't meet the definition of an aquaculture facility under the federal regulations, they could not be a part of this permit, and the board would need to individually regulate them or come up with another general permit that would apply to facilities that aren't aquaculture facilities as defined in the federal regs. Or, like I said, the board or the executive officer could say, oh, this facility doesn't technically meet that definition, but it makes sense to put them in this permit for other reasons.
So. Does that mean that we could set another general permit that catches all the others that are not defined under the federal requirements?
Generally, I think so. The thing is that general permits, have a general permit, they need to be similar in nature and have similar discharges, so there could be some caveats to that. But
so it might be better to do individual permits on those others.
Right. Well, it may, and the purpose of the general permit is if you do have facilities that are similar in nature, then you can put them all in one and reduce your permitting costs and not cost to them, but this process you could reduce. But
Mr. Hayashi?
So I have a question. The definition parallels the federal definition.
Correct.
So the question I have, it says, is that feeds 5,000 pounds per month, irregardless of whether they produce that 20,000 pounds per year. I mean, wouldn't the discharge be the same?
Well, the definition is a little bit ambiguous because the first part is a hatchery farm that contains, grows, holds, or studies aquatic animals, and then it has these criteria that discharges 30 days per year and feeds 5,000 pounds of food and produces 20,000. So the produces is a little bit ambiguous.
So what would happen if we just left the produces off and just
said, well, the produces is in the regulations.
Oh.
But then there's the third part that the executive officer could say that it.
But under a general permit, if we're writing it, we could strike the 20,000 pounds, and then we'd bring everybody in if they feed the 5,000 pounds per month, because based on a 5,000 pounds per month, whoever is eating it, they're going to, whatever it is, they're going to discharge the equivalent of that 5,000.
Right. Well, I think in this case, there are five specifically listed to be in this permit now, right? So whether they specifically meet the 20,000, produces 20,000 pounds or not, doesn't matter because now you're voting to include them in the permit.
To include them?
Right.
But if we left the 20,000 pounds out,
it still wouldn't matter because still the executive officer could say it's a significant contributor, whether it produces 20,000 pounds or has 20,000 pounds of aquatic animals, it doesn't matter.
But it would make the general permit a general permit, more general, wouldn't it, if you left the 20,000 pounds out? And it would make streamline the whole deal.
That's, let me think about that some more. But.
While you're thinking about that, one of the things I was going to point out is that the production criteria only is applicable to a production facility, like a hatchery or a farm. So that criteria is not applicable to an aquarium. Right.
So then an aquarium wouldn't come under this that doesn't produce 20,000?
No, aquarium
I'm just
still
that
would.
That
come
criteria
under
is only applicable to a producer.
Okay, but that's not the way it reads.
No. Right.
It says, or aquarium. Aquarium or other is in there that produces.
Right, and actually the federal regs provide an exemption if it's less than 20,000 pounds.
Can we leave the 20,000 pounds out legally, out of our general?
It's our permit.
I mean,
This is
I agree with Mr. Hayashi. This is a little more restrictive than we need to be. And or this is ambiguous. I mean, the wording you had up there is ambiguous. Maybe you guys can figure out a better way to do it. If you don't mean to include aquariums that don't produce 20,000 pounds, then let's add another something that says that.
Well, let me explain the regs. The regs say that a concentrated aquatic animal production facility means a hatchery, fish farm, or other facility which meets the criteria in this these regs. The other thing is that the board may designate on a case by case a facility to be a concentrated aquatic animal facility. So today, in this proposal, there are five facilities proposed to be in there. Whether or not they meet that produces 20,000 pounds, it doesn't matter because you're making that determination.
But do the federal regs cover aquariums? Did they mention aquariums?
Yes.
Well, how do we get aquariums who don't produce 20,000 pounds of fish meat a year?
And they don't. That's not their business.
Exactly. Okay. So how do they ever get under this? I don't understand.
They get under it by either the executive officer saying they're similar to a facility or by you saying that. So whether they meet...
By using what?
By saying that whether they produce 20,000 pounds or have 20,000 pounds,
staff
doesn't
has
matter.
In the past looked at it as if the facility holds that amount of animals. Then, so the labs, the labs or whatnot.
Well, then we should say holds. Produces or holds.
Yeah, we could do that.
We could.
Let's make it clear.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, what's
I
the
think
problem?
That's fine if you say produces or. It's just that it wouldn't necessarily be a concentrated. It wouldn't necessarily be something that fits under the federal regs, but it could still be something you can choose to include in the permit.
Yeah,
make it a lot cleaner.
Yeah. If that's what you guys are saying that it means, then let's just say it. Instead of saying, oh, that's okay, that doesn't really mean that. It means something else.
Well, the other thing is the regs, if you look at that's the regulation. It's actually in the negative. The way the permit was is that it is not aquatic animal production facility if it has less than 9,000.
But does not include.
That's the negative part.
Yeah.
It might be better just to use that language.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think if we replace the language in the permit with the actual language of the regulation, it may be clearer.
Well, if it doesn't include facilities which produce. Oh, I see. Okay.
But the thing is, what is the federal regs define a concentrated aquatic animal production facility. That's it. Your permit is intended to apply to facilities that meet that definition or facilities that you choose to say are similar enough to those kind of facilities that they should be covered by this permit. So,
well, I just think that there's some facilities that just automatically should come into it.
Right.
And I have to wait around for our staff to investigate and someone
so
make
if
that
say
decision.
Holds or produces, that's probably
well, right. Why don't we just use this?
Okay.
Avian.
Will that get us?
Mr. Schimmick provided a lengthy list of organizations that are potentially similar to this. Could someone help me understand to what extent these other organizations are already covered by permits?
Or not.
Or the staff are,
Do you want me to go through the list one at a time?
No. I think in general, I just don't understand it. Is it possible that we already are covering most of these people in some other way, or these organizations?
It's actually, we're covering probably half of them by this permit. The list contains facilities that are named and that are the same facility under different names. So, for example, U.S. Abalone and Silver King Oceanic, those are the same facility. California Fish and Game Facility at Long Marine Lab, the NOAA at Long Marine Lab, Long Marine Lab at Seymour Center. Excuse me. Those are all covered under the Long Marine Lab facility. They share intake and an outfall. Let's see. Moss Marine Lab, or excuse me, Moss Landing Marine Lab, I believe, is a very small facility that shares a discharge, I think, with the National Refractories. I'm not sure about the MBARI.
That's Mbari, which is the facility out on the Sandspit.
Right.
And then I would think that Marine Mammal Center also shares the refractories discharge. Now, I'm not sure if it's the refractories discharge or the desal plants, not the desal, the power plants discharge, but they are dischargers, and they're fairly major dischargers.
Mm-hmm. Is the Monterey Bay Aquarium under a permit?
No. They're currently not under a permit. They're working with the state board. They're going through the ASBS process,
right.
And the state board is requiring monitoring and reporting. Which once they're through that process, we would envision incorporating that monitoring and requirements into their permit. Monterey Abalone at Monterey Wharf is a very small facility that hangs under the wharf and cages. Our staff reviewed this facility and inspected the site and determined that it was a very low threat and was decided not to be covered by the permit. It does not meet the sizing criteria. Hopkins Marine Station. Let's see. They're also working through the ASBS process, so they're similar to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. The NOAA Fisheries Lab at Point Pinos is very small. The Granite Canyon Lab is covered. That's the UC Davis Marine Lab, so that's covered by this permit. The Abalone Farm in Morro Bay, I don't believe there actually is an Abalone Farm in Morro Bay. I think they're referring to the Abalone Farm in Cayucas, which is covered by the permit. The Cultured Abalone in Goleta is covered by the permit. UC Santa Barbara was investigated or inspected by our staff and determined not to be a threat to water quality.
It too small or other?
I think it's relatively small, mm-hmm. But I don't know all the details. The Santa Barbara Sea Center is a very small operation. Same with the Santa Barbara Zoo and Aquarium. The Santa Barbara Marine Mammal Center is actually located a couple miles inland. I don't believe they actually have a discharge to the ocean. And Pacific Seafood Industries, Inc. is a growing facility that's out in the open ocean. I don't believe they actually feed their animals. They're filter feeders. They grow, mussels and other types of filter feeding. I believe they provide a media for them to grow on, but I don't believe they actually feed them anything or do anything to them in terms of management. I think the water flowing through it and the natural tidal cycles, so they're not covered. And those are all of them.
If I could follow up with that. So the facilities that were inspected and determined not to meet the criteria for the general permit. At the time of those inspections, were we thinking about pharmaceuticals and any use that might be going on, even at a small scale?
I think, well, since this permit was adopted the previous time, pharmaceuticals were mentioned in that permit. So we've, for at least the past 5 years, and these facilities, except for actually the Monterey Bay Aquarium, the Monterey Abalone under the wharf. I think that was inspected prior to the adoption of the previous permit. Mm-hmm. So that would be one that may not have been. Mm-hmm. But there was discussion about their management practices in the report, that they only use seawater for cleaning, and they essentially feed the animals, kelp, and they don't add anything. Pharmaceutical usage in a open water system is very difficult to do because of the water. It's not a flow-through system where you have control of a certain amount of flow and you can take offline and medicate or use chemicals or drugs on it. It's just in the open water. Mm-hmm. So it would be very difficult, I believe, for them to use pharmaceuticals in that environment.
Okay, thank you.
But all the other ones that have been looked at since the adoption of the permit.
Mm-hmm. So okay.
Mr. Shellcross, did you have another comment?
Yeah, I was just rereading this, and this actually has the same problem as our original definition, unless you change A1 to facilities which produce or hold. You would still have to add or hold to the. Otherwise, you're letting all aquariums that don't produce food out altogether.
Right. It still has the production language in there.
Yeah,
so we would need to change that to all and holds,
okay.
I guess.
Mr. Hayashi, did you have any more comments?
I'm with Gary on that.
Okay. Mr. Briggs?
Well, so it looks like we're looking at adding or holds. However, then we end up with per year. So aren't we looking at 20,000 pounds per year produces? 20,000 pounds per year or holds 20,000 pounds. Is that the... Because it's not holding per year.
Right, and the thing is this, the way the permit is set up, although it didn't exactly do that, it had an aquaculture definition from the regs, but it has a section C that has eligible dischargers, and I think the part would be to just add to that the eligible dischargers are those that meet the definition of aquaculture facilities in the federal regs and those that hold 20,000 pounds of aquatic animals so that it's included.
If you feed 5,000 pounds a month, wouldn't you hold at least 20,000 pounds anyway? I don't know.
Right. My point just is that you can't quote the federal regs and then add in something and still say you're quoting the federal regs. You just need to do it separately.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cleaner that way. Any other questions?
Yes.
Dr. Hunter?
If this is the right point, I wanted to find out what we know about the ASBS permit. What is the status of that? And I'm guessing that the criteria for discharge to an ASBS is probably going to be more stringent than these operating facilities, but that's just a guess on my part. I don't know where we stand with the... And do we have any involvement and input in the ASBS permit that's in development?
Hi, this is Harvey Packard. Dr. Von Langen of our staff is the one working on this, and he's not here right now, but I can say we are involved with the process. The two facilities that we have that are being discussed here, the Hopkins and the Monterey Bay Aquarium, actually Hopkins intake and discharge go through the aquarium, so it's one discharge. But the way that Ocean Plan is written is that the state board cannot, or the regional board cannot allow a discharge until they have an exception from the ASBS. And so they have to do the exception first, which is through the state board. And when that is done, then we'll be able to permit them, either through the general permit or an individual permit. And I don't know the timeline. I know that they have a unit up there that's working on it. They have a working group that includes these dischargers and the agencies, including our staff.
How long has that process been going on?
Several years already, yeah.
Several years. So do you have a good guess as to when those conditions might be ironed out?
I don't know.
No.
We can get back to you on that.
Okay, are there any other questions from the board? Mr. Briggs?
Well, I think we need to summarize the recommended changes.
Yes.
I'm not sure who the best person is to do that.
Well, what I was looking at was Section C of the permit, of the facility information, has eligible discharges, and has to be covered by the general permit, discharges must meet the following definition of an aquaculture facility, and then you could add there, or holds, or and or holds 20,000 pounds of aquatic, approximately 20,000 pounds of aquatic animals, to that sentence, and then replace the definition with the actual definition in the permit, in the regs.
Any questions to that?
Executive
Shellcross?
No. Actually, there was another issue that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Is this the right?
But does that work?
Oh, that's fine. Well,
okay.
Okay, before we leave that subject, did you just
Well, I mean, I just want to clarify, is it discharges for 30 days, feeds 5,000 pounds,
right, so
and holds, or is it, okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure it wasn't either that or has 20,000 pounds of aquatic animals.
Okay, let me keep looking.
Okay.
I get it right.
Okay. Yeah.
Because a facility, I mean, then you get into how long are they holding it. If a facility has some animals for a day, but they're not discharging or they're not feeding or somehow, you never know what kind of scenarios are going to come up.
Well, you know, Mr. Hayashi had another suggestion that we just drop the 20,000-pound issue. Anyone who feeds.
But I don't know if we can do that under the federal regs. Can we?
Well, we can't change the federal reg. You can just change what you want to cover.
I mean, can we drop the 20,000-pound requirement altogether and just leave it at the feeds 5,000 pounds of food, assuming that that raises them to the level that we want to cover, regardless of what they do with the animals?
That'll make it a general permit, and if they want to be covered under some other permit, they could come to the executive officer and then go plead their case.
Well, that surely would cover more
yeah.
if you dropped that.
Just add that in the eligible.
Right.
I guess my concern would be the if that's considered a significant change. I don't know if there's facilities out there to have an opportunity to have commented on that type, that may now be included in the permit.
Well, that's why I think it actually, the way it's written, it covers your issue, because it says, or any similar facility that the executive officer determines may be a significant contributor. So if it produces or holds, it does, the executive officer can still say, okay, it doesn't produce, but it holds, you know, animals like a marine lab, and so it's sufficiently similar to that we're going to include them in the permit.
But now we're back to having the executive officer make that decision.
Well, but it's okay for that to happen because, so you could add your own section that the executive officer should include facilities that have, that even if they don't produce 20,000 pounds, they feed, you know, 5,000 pounds.
But the whole idea behind the general permit is to streamline it, so you don't have to spend.
I know.
The time.
Well, that way the executive officer just all I have to do is look. Okay, they feed 5,000 pounds. You're in the permit. There's no discretion involved. It's simple.
Then why don't we just take the 20,000 pounds out?
My concern is that the federal regs define that, and then you're then not making clear that facilities that are defined as aquatic animal production by EPA are included in this permit, and you want to be sure those are included.
So then we can just direct the executive officer to include any facility.
Right. So you just add another.
Any facility that feeds 5,000, uses 5,000 right. pounds of food regardless of
whatever.
What it holds.
Right.
Well, can we put a footnote in there to require that?
We'll just add another section to the facilities that are eligible will be those the executive officer determines.
I just want to make sure it's clear.
I think that's
what we're struggling with.
Right.
So including those.
Or any similar facility that the executive officer determines may be a significant contributor, including those that feed 5,000 pounds, but don't
regardless of
whether they produce 20,000. Okay.
And then I had another issue.
Yourself.
On this benthic monitoring request by Mr. Shemek, That didn't sound unreasonable. I'd sort of like to hear staff's comments on that because, well, for the reasons that he stated.
Basically, from my understanding, that the benthic communities are different in different areas in terms of, you know, as we said in the comments, time and space. There are natural variabilities in those communities. Trying to determine what, or if any, impact from an aquaculture facility based on that is going to be difficult to do because there are natural variabilities. Also, some of our facilities discharge near creeks, other dischargers. I don't know how we would differentiate between pollutant loading from non-point sources and pollutant loading from point sources. Literally, one of our facilities' outfall is right next to a stream that drains an urban, somewhat urban area, and an agricultural area.
I mean, I don't know a lot about this, but it seems to me like you just take some samples nearby that's not near the outfall and some samples under the outfall and see if it's, you know, healthy or not. I don't know. Seems pretty simple to me. I'm sure there's even better ways.
But right.
I mean, I think the fact that the benthic communities are variable isn't a reason we shouldn't be protecting them or monitoring them. I mean,
no, I don't disagree with that. I just don't know how we would determine that the specific facility is impacting the communities.
My suggestion would be that you couldn't at this hearing add monitoring because it hasn't been proposed, and there'd be an opportunity for people to comment on that.
Yeah.
But you could, if you want the staff to consider if there would be a way to set up an appropriate monitoring program to do that and then come back.
Well, why don't we do this? Since Mr. Shimmick had this great idea, why doesn't he propose a monitoring methodology to us, and we'll look at it. And
is that a question to Mr. Shimmick?
No, I mean, that's my
suggestion.
I would
agree to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
If there's some good way to do it, then maybe we should look at it.
Okay.
Also, I think that's a part of the ASBS work for granting an exception, is that they're part of a monitoring program, and they're trying to figure that out on a statewide basis.
So the state board would clarify all of that then?
Well, they're trying to figure it out, and it's a very large group that's working on that. It would make sense to capitalize on that effort, I think.
Okay. Mr. Briggs, do you have any other comments? Staff?
No, I think the changes that we've discussed cover it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Then I would entertain some kind of motion.
I'll move the staff recommendation with the changes mentioned.
I'll second.
Okay. The motion is to approve order number R3-2008-009 with the changes. All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, motion is carried. At this time, we will go